Perhaps
watch out.
First, the Poskim Bichvod Achsanya in the Sukkah of Rabbi and Rebbetzin Goldschmidt. I have a very close relationship with Rabbi Goldschmidt for many, many years. And actually, his Rebbetzin also was connected to another institution that I founded, MMY, many, many years ago. And Baruch Hashem, really, it's a tremendous chus to be associated with this wonderful, outstanding, beautiful family. And they epitomize, unquestionably, what he just described. Namely, a Rebbe par excellence, and that's exactly what Aseh L'Charav. So in light of what you said, I've been thinking just the last few seconds, so that's what I'm going to speak about. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara, it's actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the context of Nisach HaMayim. So the Mishnah talks about Nisach HaMayim that took place, as you know, on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. And the Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara then follows upon the heels of that, telling us some of the details of the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. The Makor, the Gemara says, is the Pasuk, Ushavta Mayim Besoson, Mimayinei HaYeshua. The Gemara then tells the following story. I marvel at this story, because the story is so, in Hebrew you would say, pikanti, which means rather unique and distinctive story. The Gemara says there were two minim, there were two apikursim. One was named Sosin, and one was named Simcha. So Sosin says to Simcha, I'm better than you. Why is he better than Simcha? Because it says in the Pasuk, Sosin v'Simcha yasigo. And what comes first in the Pasuk? Sosin comes before Simcha. A moment later, Simcha responds, what are you talking about? I'm better than you, he says. Because it says in the Pasuk, and each one is quoting Pesukim this way and that way, and trying to more or less accentuate the fact that I'm superior to you, I'm better than you. And the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says that the Sosin says to Simcha, one day they're going to make you into a flask container of water, go against Pesukim Tanakh. The other one said they're going to make you into a runner, and back and forth. The whole Gemara is mysterious beyond belief. There's a massive cloud on this Gemara. What's the pshat in this Gemara? So in order to understand this Gemara, we'll have to provide a little background. We'll take a few moments, if you don't mind. And the following. These Yom Tovim that we just went through, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, there are many common denominators between them. One of them is what Rabbi Goldschmidt Shlita just spoke about a few moments ago, Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll just delineate for you a few elements of what I'm referring to. Rosh Hashanah. The idea of Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, is something which is not found in Tanakh. In the text of the Torah itself, if you remember, has the Torah identify Rosh Hashanah? It calls it Parshin Emor, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. It means something to do with blowing the shofar, undoubtedly. Another pasuk says, Yom Trua Yelachem. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah already resolves the contradiction. One place is called Yom Trua, one place is called Zichron Trua. If Yom Trua falls out during the week, so we blow the shofar. If, however, it falls out on Shabbos, Zichron Trua, Gzera D'Rabba. The Gemara has famous Gzera D'Rabba, they might come to carry the shofar and not to learn how to blow, and therefore we don't have the mitzvah of shofar on Shabbos, just like we don't have the mitzvah of lulav on Shabbos. That's also Gemara, because of Gzera D'Rabba. So too, the mitzvah of shofar does not apply when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. You have Zichron Trua, which means you're going to mention the psukim, but you're not going to blow the shofar. Hashem came where you have Rosh Hashanah during the week, it'll be Yom Trua. But does the Torah say anything about Rosh Hashanah being Yom Adin? Not even a remez, not even a hint. We have no concept, no clue whatsoever. Rosh Hashanah has any connection to Yom Adin. And yet everyone knows Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin par excellence. It's true that it is. How do we know that? We have Mishnayos, a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Tezayin. The Mishnah says in Tezayin Rosh Hashanah, a clear Mishnah tells you that every Yom Tov has a Yom Adin aspect to it. Every single Yom Tov. This Yom Tov is Al Peres HaIlon, and this Yom Tov is on this, and this Yom Tov is on that. Rosh Hashanah Kol Boi Olam. Boyim lefanu kivnei maron. The Gemara stoop shot to what kivnei maron means. We say that in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, if you remember, in the Nesana Tokef Tefillah, which I actually spoke about in Shir, we say that the entire world passes before Hashem kivnei maron. Similar to the din mentioned at the end of Chukosai, it's a whole sugyan erchin about Maisa Behema, that they would give of every 10 animals, you have to stripe one animal, and the tenth becomes Maisa Behema, and Kol Asher Yavo Tachas Hashem, to Asiri Yakodesh Hashem, becomes Kodesh. So here also, we are passing before Hashem, kibnei maron, like sheep who are passing in front of the shepherd. But if not for the Mishnah, and if not for a Maser of Chazal, and if not for a Kabbalah Chazal had, we wouldn't know in the text of the Chumash itself that Rosh Hashanah has any connection to Yom HaDin. So what is Rosh Hashanah based on as a Yom HaDin? Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Ramban writes this explicitly. The Ramban in his Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban in Pashas Emor, when he describes in those Psukim, the Ramban explains that we have a Masorah of Chazal and the Nevi'im who told us that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. The Ramban even has an expression that he used to define Rosh Hashanah, Yom Din Berachamim. I mentioned this already a few times. It's essentially Yom HaDin that hopefully will be moderated by the Midas HaRachamim Hashem Yisbarach, what the Ramban calls Hamtokas HaDin, sweetening the din. And that's what we're trying to do Rosh Hashanah. The Tkiah represents the sound of Rachamim or Simcha. The Ramban shows in many Pesukim of Tanakh, the Lashon Tkiah is always found in Tanakh in the context of Simcha and Rachamim. The Torah says, V'yom Simchaschem U'muadechem U'brashi Chatshechem U'skatem B'chatzotzos Al Oloseichem Yalziv Cheshalmechem Apostle in Ba'aloscha. So that Tkiah is found U'v'yom Simchaschem U'muadechem. On times of Simcha, times of Moadim, of Yom Tov, we blow the Tkiah. Trua is a Lashon that's found in the context of Milchama. The Torah says, V'chisavo Milchama v'yatzachem al hatzar hatzorer eschem v'hareosem v'chatzotzos. Lashon Trua. V'hareosem v'chatzotzos. And therefore, what are we doing? The Trua is in the middle. That represents Milchama, or Din, or Pachad, surrounded by Tkiah lefaneh, Tkiah lachareh. Pshut lefaneh, pshut lachareh. Which means, what are we trying to do? Sandwich that Din and engulf it, encompass it. And basically, as the American expression would be, we're trying to squish it. I don't think there's such a word. But we're trying to essentially eviscerate it and eliminate it and expunge. And how do we do that? By surrounding it with Kia, with Rachamim, with Simcha. But there's no explicit indication that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin in the text of the Torah itself. Come Yom Kippur. So that you learn some of the Mishnais of Yuma, and you remember undoubtedly that in Yuma the Gemara speaks about Chamish Tevilos and Asorah Kiddushin. 5 times the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh, and 10 times that he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Is that mentioned in the text of Acharemos? The Pasha, the Avodah, and Acharemos talks about the Avodah of Yom Kippur. But the Ramban already asked this kasha. If you read the text carefully, the Torah describes primarily what Avodah that took place b'fnai b'fnin. The Avodah took place in the Kodesh Kodoshim, namely primarily Haktaras Hakteres, and then removing the elements that are involved with the Ktoris, but doesn't speak about the other elements that also take place in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also has the normal Avodah that's done by Kohen Gadol on a daily basis, namely Tomas Shal Shachar, Tomas Shal Ben Abayim. That's not found. And beyond that, the Torah only mentions 2 Tevilos. Barachat Tzvarayim, Zesorah Levesha, mentions twice the Chumash Nacharemos. It seems to have completely forgotten about the entire Seder Ayom. So where does that come from? The answer is Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, Chazal, based on the Drasha, their understanding of Psukim, came to the Maskana that the Torah Shebaal Peh teaches us how we're supposed to behave in Yom Kippur, which is far more elaborate than what the Torah itself presents. The Torah presents a very limited presentation of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and really, it's far more elaborate. Another example, maybe the best example on Yom Kippur, the Machlokes, the Tzedukim, and the Prushim, regarding, in terms of the particulars relating to the Haktaras Haktaras. Where did it take place? The Pasuk says, Ki be'anon a royal akaporis. Was that done outside and then brought inside? Everything was done inside. That's a big machlokes, the sukkim and the prushim. Again, a famous machlokes, a very important machlokes. And again, it's based on Torah Shebaal Peh. Without Torah Shebaal Peh, we literally ain't learning yadayim raglayim. We don't have any hands or legs. We can't even move. And Torah Shebaal Peh is critical when it comes to Yom Kippur. Now take sukkahs. Again, the same yesod. Anyone who learns Masechet Sukkah, even if you learn Mishnayos and Masechet Sukkah, which is kedai to do in the course of this Yom Tim, not so complicated, realizes right away that most of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is based on Torah Shebaal Peh. So many halachas relating to Sukkah, such as all the dinim of Lavud, Pitikur Yerav V'Seisveim, all the halachas are basically halachas Moshe Mi-Sinai. The Gemara says in Davav in Sukkah, Shiurin Chatzitzin V'Mechitzin halachas Moshe Mi-Sinai. Kimad, the whole first parak of Sukkah, for those who studied it, if you remember, if you recall, is primarily all Torah Shebaal Peh. Completely found in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So here we have 3 Yom Tovim that have in common. Further, relating to Sukkot, the Mishnah I started with before, Nisach HaMayim. You know how Nisach HaMayim is derived? Kol HaShana Kula, what do? We have Nisach HaYayim. That's Pesukim Mechumish. But Dafkan Sukkot, we have Nisach HaMayim. Where does it come from? Extra Mem, extra Yud, extra Mem, extra letters. What in heaven's name is that all about? The answer is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh has many, many different methodologies in order to derive what it derives, but it's again founded upon Torah Shebaal Peh, upon a Masera that Chazal had, Mechachameinu Zuchen Levracha, and that is really critical, very, very critical. Interesting, I davened Maariv tonight in a shul in the Rabat Beit Shemesh. I sometimes daven in the Mincha Maariv there, and a Balabas came over to me. He's actually a Kohen, and he asked me the following question: why did you make a bracha when you make take the lulav? The bracha should be based on the pasuk in Chumash. What does the pasuk in Chumash say? How does the Torah describe the obligation to take the dalaminim? What verb is used? Ulekachtem lachem bayom rishon. So the bracha should be al kichas lulav. Why do we say al netilas lulav? The Gemara actually asked the kasha. So the Gemara asked the kasha. It's only pitter patter. Don't let it disturb you. So why is it that we say the bracha of al netilas lulav? So I explained to him that here again you see that the word lekicha is the term used in Chumash. What does the term lekicha mean?
Take.
Excellent. It means to physically grab something. Came out every time in Chumash the term lekicha is used. Ulekachtem agudas ezov utvaltem adam hashem asaf. I could give you, should I give you a long list? That's probably not necessary, but you can trust me. The term lekicha means to physically take something. The word notel, yitol, which is the half of the parak lulav agozel, the third parak of Sukkah, this word is used again and again. Throughout the, it came out every other Mishnah, use the lashon of yitol. There's a Mishnah that talks about esrog, talks about lulav, talks about hadasim, talks about aravos. 4 separate Mishnahs, each dealing with each alochis, and the word yitol is used again and again and again. Why? Because the term yitol doesn't only mean to take, but it also means, what else must we do with the lulav? Linanea, the first Mishnah in Lulav Agozel, says in Chav Chesu Rebeis that you have to take a lulav and it has to be an extra tefach in height. Ukidei linanea. In order to be able to be linanea, the lulav, even though the nanuim are not ma'akev, the Gemara calls the shari mitzvah makfas ha'pu'anus, because the nanuim are an integral part of the lulav. So the word lekicha would not encompass nanuim. Lekicha means just physically taking something. And the word yitol has many other elements to it. Yitol means not just lakachat, but also linanea. Also means, again, to wave it aloft and to do other things with the... So that's why, so what am I trying to tell him? Lashon Torah l'chud, Lashon Chazal l'chud. The Chazal always tells us, the Lashon of the Torah is one way, and the Lashon of Chazal is something else. Torah Shabbat Peh is completely different from Torah Shabbat Chzav. But without Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Chzav is a closed book. So Sukkot is based largely on what Torah Shabbat Peh. And I'll bring you the biggest raya of all. Of course, Briskly can only bring this raya. The Rambam. When the Rambam presents all the dinim of Sukkot, as Ram begin, how would you begin if you were to write Hilchos Sukkah? You would before I get to the Tzvei Dinah, but how would you present it? You would tell us Mitzvah Saseh, Lashavas Pesukah, Shivas Meachag, Shenemar, Basukas Heshvah, Shivas Yom, Kol Azmeh Chisol, Yeshivasukos, Laman Yedu Derosechim, Kibasukos, Lashavas Neisel, Botsiyosom, Eretz Yisrael, Mani Hashem Alkechem. That's what you would write. And you would write as well Mitzvah Saseh, Lito Lula, Bishmeshach, Shivas Meachag, and you'd quote the Pesukim. That's not what the Rambam does. The Rambam introduces Hilchos Sukkah with a long, long list of halachas that relate to what? Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. All the dinim halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the Rambam quotes the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah. Why? That we don't even know what a sukkah is. We don't know there's an obligation to sit in the sukkah. We don't know there's an obligation to take a lulav. And yet he begins with giving you the long litany of things that are halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And the answer is because the entire Yom Tov of Sukkah is predicated and grounded and founded upon what? Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why the Rambam is making a statement. That's why he's bringing you all these halachas of Pitikra and Lavud and the like and all the dinim relating to the Tfanas and Mechitzas are mostly halacha and Moshe Mesina. Very complicated dinim. Came out the first parak of Masechta Sukkah all the way till Chaf Aleph, till the second parak, to Kayoshein. Came out all entirely halacha Moshe Mesina. And the whole Masechta Sukkah and the whole Yom Tov of Sukkot is based on Torah Shabbat Peh. So what am I showing you? A common denominator between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. All three Yom Tovim are based on what? Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, in order for a person to be able to absorb Torah Shabbat Peh, there's only one derech. One derech, which is a sure derech to absorb Torah Shabbat Peh. Namely, a Rebbe. Without a Rebbe, one cannot possibly absorb Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Chzav, one can study the text of the Chumash, one can study Tanakh. It's possible to learn Torah Shabbat Chzav. It's not so difficult. It's a fair number of psukim, but if you are koveitim, as undoubtedly you are, and the Talmud Chacham has to have Chavtal Kishutim, and among them are the Svarim of Tanakh. I mentioned always the Rashi in the fourth paragraph of Brachas, where the Gemara says, Minu b'neichem ha'igoyim, you should not engage in higoyim. So Rashi says, Al targilim b'mikra, yesim idai, don't learn too much mikra, which means only 24 Svarim you have to learn. Just 24 Svarim of Tanakh, you should know. That's usually what I do. In the car, I have Tanakh on either side of my car, and both pockets that are on the left hand, on the driver's side, on the passenger side, and when I get stuck in traffic, that's when I learn Tanakh. So generally, I usually do it 5 times a year. not always in the car. I sometimes do it also not in the car. But Tanakh can be learned by anyone. Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no way one can acquire Torah Shebaal Peh without a Rebbe. E-Efshar. One of the major chesronos of our generation is that people are not really zochet to have a Rebbe for an extended period of time. In my generation, it was more common for people to study with Rabbeim. I was zochet to study with Gedolei Olam, with people who are Gedolei Yisrael, Bein, Moran HaRav Zatzal, HaRav Soloveitchik. For many, many years, I went to Shurim. I went to not hundreds, thousands of Shurim HaRav Soloveitchik. In the summer, during the year, at nighttime, I literally followed him everywhere. My Rebbe, Rav Nisim Albert Zatzal, was a Rebbe that I had kesher with for 21 years. I heard Shurim in the morning, heard Shurim at night, on many, many Mesachtas that you never would have even come across if not for having a Rebbe like that. He taught us Abed Zohar, he taught us Masechas Beitza, Masechas Brachas, and so many other prokim here and there, all over Shas and things in Yerushalmi and things in Zroyim and in Taurus, and it was really amazing that you have such an exposure. And he's a Rebbe who has a Masera from his Rabbeim in Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is, I'm just trying to more or less accentuate what Rav Goldschmidt Shlita, what he said earlier in his beautiful Divya Akdama about, he talked about L'Hakbam L'Rabu Regal, there's a tumult in the Turi Evin where that's no get today. Only Bizman Amigdash, not Bizman Amigdash, Shag Zayah, so long Arichas, and this Gemara is after Mepasek, Madu Atalachas Elav, Lo Shabbos, Lo Chedesh, there's apparently an Inyan of being Mekabal L'Rabu Regal, but as he said, there's an Indian to see a Rebbe, primarily to see how a Rebbe behaves, how a Rebbe, how he carries himself, and how he's medactic in mitzvahs, and what he does and what he doesn't do, and the diukim that he does, and that's really the greatness of having a Rebbe, especially in the era of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is something that is far more profound than Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebaal Peh requires a masera. Without a Masera, you can't possibly acquire Torah Shebaal Peh. You have to be Mishamish, Tamil Chachamim, and get very close to them. It's a very famous Gemara in Brachas. You're familiar with it. The Gemara says that Yeshua ben Nun was the Mishamish of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua ben Nun, Nar lo Yomish mitecha oil. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. There's a Rambam, Rav Salvech, used to be Medayik, from the Lashon HaRambam, and the Akdamah to Mishnah Torah. Because there's another Medrash. The Medrash said there were three people who received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Elazar, Yeshua, and Pinchas. Via Elazar and Pinchas, Hoyu Yosef Mimulachim than Yoshua ben Nun. They were intellectually sharper. Their intellectual reflexes were sharper than Yoshua ben Nun. So why was he zeichet to become the manik after Moshe Rabbeinu in the Parshim Pinchas, where the Torah describes over there? Yivkar Hashem Elokei Ruchas L'chol Basa Isha La'eda Asher Yetzi Lefneim Asher Yavu Lefneim Asher Yotzim Asher Yivim V'Losi Adas Hashem Katzon Asher Ein Lehem Roe Hayom Hashem Moshe Kach Lechaz Yoshua ben Nun Isha Asher Ruach Bo V'Samtes Yotcha Olav Gim Smicha. That's Gemara Baba Kama. Not last year, you didn't get to it. So the Gemara says that Smicha was given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua Binu. Why Yeshua? So the Rambam has a lashon in the Akdama to Mishnah Torah. He says the following: Billy Yeshua Shu Talmido Shem Moshe Rabbeinu Masa Torah Shem Bapev Tzivoola, because he was the Talmud par excellence of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he was given the Torah. He was not necessarily the greatest. The other two may have been greater, but he was the one who was Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu, who observed Moshe Rabbeinu very carefully. Rav Soloveitchik always commented that even in the world of Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov had many Talmidim. And the main Talmud he had, probably the greatest Talmud Chochim, he was a master Talmud Chochim, his name was Rav Yaakov Yosef Mipolanya. Maybe you're aware of this. I don't know, you know these people. Maybe Chabad, you're more familiar. Anyway, but in the Baal Shem Tov had many Talmidim, but he didn't become the successor to the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Yaakov Yosef Mipolanya. Who became the successor? The one that they call the Mezvitcher Magid. Why did Mezvitcher Magid become the successor? They called him also the Lima Bear. Okay, that's another story. But why did he become the successor to the Baal Shem Tov? The answer is because he was Mishamish to Baal Shem Tov. That he literally followed him, scrutinized his behavior, stalked him, if you will. And that's something that a Talmud has to do in order to understand how his Rebbe behaves. Rav Soloveitchik said once in the summer, a whole series of Shurim, Pirkei Avos. And he claimed that, what's Pirkei Avos all about? Because the key of the Gemara in Brachas, Gdol Shemusha Shotera, Yosef Melimuda. More important than learning Torah is to be Mishamish Tamil Chacham, to see how they behave. So when you have that, in my days, and I'll be honest, this is something that I find always troubling. In my days, we had Rabbeim who were much older than we were. I'm talking about, I was looking at Rabbeim who are basically in my age range, and I was your age, and I found that to be something which was a boon. A boon means a positive thing. Why? Because these Rabbeim had, first of all, their fount of Torah knowledge was inexhaustible. They themselves were Mishamish Ali Gedolei Yisrael. from previous generations, and they had a maserah to give over that was so wealthy and so rich and so plentiful and so opulent. It was just the mind-boggling. Today, somehow, youth is in, so you have younger rabbeim, and then it's true they may have more energy in some respects and more with it. They're cooler. They're cool cats. I don't know exactly what other qualities they have, but there's no question they're not in the same league as the other ones. They're not even playing sandlot baseball. The others are in the major leagues and the World Series, and these people are in sandlot baseball. Yet people somehow prefer them. Why? Because they're mistaken. Because they don't understand the value of Masera, don't understand what Torah Shema Peh is all about. And I'm just saying, in general, if you have an opportunity to even be with someone who maybe we have in our yeshiva, some very young rabbeim, they're all wonderful. They're all great. They really, we have an outstanding group of rabbeim. We have a cadre that's second to none, according to my humble opinion, since we hired them. So they're great. They're outstanding. But sometimes you have a Rebbe who may be a bit older. We had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who retired recently, Rabbi Noam Gordon. Some of you may have gotten to know him. Besides being a Talmid Chacham Otzum, he's someone, he himself was, he's a son-in-law of one of the Gdolei Ador of the previous generations. And even though he was a professor of mathematics, that's what he did professionally for many, many years. He taught at many universities. He was a math professor, has a PhD in mathematics, a very smart guy. Besides the fact that he's a massive Talmid Chacham. And people, again, I felt that he was someone who was not sufficiently appreciated in the yeshiva. Maybe guys in the yeshiva maybe had some appreciation of him. He's older. And as a result, people don't always appreciate individuals with that. But he was an astounding person. I actually ended up becoming very close to him. And he still invites us to many simchas of his grandchildren. We go all the time whenever he invites us. Someone with such a treasure house, such a storehouse of knowledge, and such a storehouse of masera that Kimad no one else in the yeshiva has. Rabbi Miller, Hagoyin Rabbi David Miller, he's a Rosh Kolo, the Wadi Kolo. He was Zeichat in Mishamish Abba Lichestein for decades. Decades. Close to 50 years. You should stalk him all day and all night. Don't let him alone for a second. He's not only a fount of knowledge, which is a repository beyond belief, also, Yirah Shamayim, Balmidos Mufla. He's an astounding person. He was Mishamish Menik Dolei Yisrael in his lifetime. That's what you should do. That's what Rabbi Goldschmidt was talking about earlier. And this, to me, is exactly what Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot are all about. Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the common denominator that I see in all these Yom Tov. There's another element I want to mention if I have a few more moments. And that is that, again, it seems to me also a common denominator between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, especially these two Yom Tovim. Is probably you're familiar with the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, "Kol Ezach b'Yisrael Yeshiv b'Sukkos, Ruuyim Kol Yisrael Yeshiv b'Sukkah Achas." What a drasha! That all Klal Yisrael is void to sit in one Sukkah. We never saw such a drasha by any other Yom Tov, neither by Pesach nor Shavuos. Dafka Sukkos, we have such a drasha. Why? Somehow the element of Achdus in Sukkos is critical. You know the Midrashim. This you certainly know. The Midrashim regarding the Dalaminim. Each one, this one is Tam B'Reach, this is Tam B'Rad Reach, this is Reach with Astam, this one, Ein Bo Tam, Ein Bo Reach. We take them all together. Eilu Yichapra Al Eilu. Let these be Mechapra for these. That's a Medrash. Rashi quotes it, Seva Pan. Zibi Agron, Shechonor quotes his Medrash. This is a famous Medrash. It's very popular Midrashim that are quoted by Rabbanim usually around this time of the year. But this idea of Achdus is something which, of course, is very, very critical in Sukkot, as I just showed you. Yom Kippur also has a similar idea. Now, so let you point it out. I actually saw this, what I'm about to tell you. I saw it in the very nice Sefer Darash Rosh Yosef. I saw this, you saw there. So he mentions there that one of the names for Yom Kippur is Tzom Kippur. What does the word Tzom mean? We generally translate Tzom as meaning what? Fast, correct. Is that the little translation? No. The word Tzom, said the Rav, comes from a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Mibad Tzamasech. The word Mitzama in Hebrew means braids. Women, braids. So let's say you take a group of individual hairs and you plait them together. P-L-A-I-T. You plait them together. It's a Gemara on Shabbos. It's a Din Shechonach. Mechabim Shechonach. And you're Oyram Beinah. You know what Bona means? Bona means Nidbach al Gabi Nidbach, Levein al Gabi Levein. You put one thing on top of the other. And that's called plating. So what does that have to do with Yom Kippur? So the Rav said that the Tzom of Yom Kippur is the following. That all of Klal Yisrael must gather together. Every single member of Klal Yisrael. We want to effect a kapara satzibur, that all Klal Yisrael should receive kapara. There are tzvei dinim kapara. Kapara yochin, kapara sibur. Correct? What is responsible for the kapara sibur in Klal Yisrael? Which korban? The soyer? La'azazel. That's responsible for the mechaper. I'll call up on this for the Yisrael. That's the Pasha over there in Acharemos. The Shnei Asirim. Soyechad Hashem. Soyechad La'azazel. Anyway, this idea of kapara, which is a universal kapara, has to do with tzom. Why? Because we have to take all the different strands, namely all the different elements in Klal Yisrael, bring them all together, and then we can have a kapara of Yom Kippurim. We must have achdus. And that's represented by a Gemara in another famous Gemara in Krisos. The Gemara says, "Kol tainis she'im ba mipasha Yisrael eno tainis." Any tainis doesn't have poshim. What are poshim? What's the difference between chet, avon, and pesha? Chet means an aver that's done b'shogeg. Avon is b'mezid. And pesha is merit. Rebelliousness. So it says that kol tainis she'im ba mipasha Yisrael eno tainis. If I have a tainis like Yom Kippur that doesn't have poshim. Poshim means people who are rebels. They don't accept Yiddishkeit. They're rebelling. They're not happy. They don't like it. But we have to somehow get them also involved. We have to include them as well. How do we know that? At the beginning of Kol Nidre, we say a statement. You probably are familiar with that statement. Anu matirim lehispalel im ha'avaryonim. Who are these avaryonim? Poshim. They are the poshim. So this year, I noticed a number of interesting diyukim. I'll just mention one of them. At the end of Yom Kippur in the Ilah, I daven the Ilah, I also daven Musaf as a Shech Tzibur, so I daven the Ilah, and I see there's two paragraphs that Rav Soloveitchik used to speak a lot about. But one of the paragraphs says the following: Ata nosin yad laposhim, v'mincha pshuta lekabel shavim. That Hashem is ready lekabel shavim, to accept those who are bali tshuva. V'mincha pshuta, his hand is extended. Someone who does tshuva, Hashem certainly is extending his hand. But even for poshim, ata nosin yad, what does Hashem do? He sort of reaches out to poshim. Now, the beginning of Kol Nidre, beginning of Yom Kippur, and the end of Yom Kippur, we have this statement: we want to address poshim, those who are rebels. We want them to be part of Yom Kippur, to be part of what we are all about, because it's all one unit, all of Klal Yisrael. So that's it. One sees again achdus. Both Yom Kippur and Sukkot have this concept of achdus. Besides the Torah Shabbat Peh component that I mentioned earlier, there's also a concept of achdus, of unity, that Yom Kippur and Sukkot represent. And that's achdus is critical for Klal Yisrael. So all of us here, we only, not only do we have an obligation towards ourselves, we have an obligation towards every other Jew, especially guys living in yeshiva as you are. So we have an obligation. The Gemara says in Shavuos, that the Gemara speaks about the concept of Kol Yisrael Arim Zelazeh, which by the way, only happened when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. Once we crossed the Yarden, that obligation now is certainly chal. It's operative and effective, and we have to be very cognizant, each one of us. We're not just here for ourselves, but we're here, we have chavrusas, we have others. Let's say, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's a famous tshuva, he says a person has to give one-tenth of his time, ma'isik sofim. If I don't have ma'isik sofim, so then one-tenth of my time is devoted to someone else who perhaps may be in need of my chizuk. If I can help someone, if I can mechazik someone, if I can strengthen someone, if I can bring a smile to someone's face, if I can do a chesed for someone, if I can help someone, I want to say something to you, which is really a very beautiful thing. I met today, Rabbi Rimla introduced me to a fellow who lives in Beitar. He learns in Rabbi Friedman's yeshiva. It happens that Torah Shraga has a fair number of young men who are learning in Rabbi Friedman's yeshiva. There are several married men, and there are a fair number of single guys there. So he told me, and there are Israelis in this yeshiva, and there are other Anglo-Saxons in this yeshiva. You know what I'm talking about, that yeshiva? You probably heard about it. So he told me the best guys in the yeshiva are the Torah Shraga guys. That was quite a compliment. I mean, to me it wasn't the Chiddush, it's Pashut. But they're the best guys in the yeshiva. They're the best guys everywhere. And the reason why they're the best guys, because in many cases, many of them came from more, quote-unquote, modern backgrounds. I also come from a modern background. I'm a very modern fellow. And I don't know how to define that term anymore. I gave up already. I don't know. I thought I was relatively modern. I mean, I'm someone who is familiar with philosophy and other types of readings that I've done in my lifetime. I'm a pretty voracious reader. And I have a second education. I studied physics and calculus and organic chemistry and biology and genetics and who knows what. And so I would call that modern. Would you not say so? I think. And I also subscribe to the idea of getting an education, also getting a panasa. I think those are very important things. And also I can deal with the state of Israel, all kinds of things. So that's modern. Is that not modern? What else is modern? It's true, I can't play the kind of games that you play. And I don't have the kind of I'm not wallowing in my iPhone, smartphone, whatever it is, and I'm not into fantasy football, whatever it is, but among my many chatoyim, this is one of them. I have a number of chatoyim, that's one of them. I have no time for fantasy football. I'm trying to figure out Rashi al Torah. That takes me enough time already, at least mabishul fantasy football. But anyway, I'm just trying to point out to you that you guys are mekablim. Because of where you're coming from, you are great mekablim. Mekablim means you're ready to hear, and you're open, and you are, Baruch Hashem, not just open, but you're open, even thirsting and searching, you're mevakshi Hashem. That's the most beautiful quality that a person can possibly have. Everyone sitting in this room right now, in this OL, Arai, we don't pass like a Yehuda, it's a Diras Arai, not a Diras Keva, and this is pretty Arai, but whatever the case is, everyone is from the Bakshi Hashem, and you're searching, and you want to move higher and higher. You want to be connected to Hashem Yisbarach. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. That connection to Hashem Yisbarach, there's nothing more beautiful than that. Some of you, we have observed you last year, and now we observe you this year. Wow, it's like Nisim Gluyim, Nisim Nifloyim, transformations and metamorphoses that are taking place, and it's all based on the Kedusha of Torah and Torah Shebal Peh and the Dveikus to Hashem Yisbarach, and that requires a Rebbe and requires guidance, it requires a lot of Hadracha. And Aseh L'Charav is something which is a lifetime kind of endeavor. And when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I decided I needed a Rebbe. So I went looking. It was not so simple for me to find a Rebbe. And then I decided I'm going to have them insult my Rebbe. Who low his skin? He didn't agree. But it didn't make a difference as far as I was concerned. Shalom Aleichem. He looks like his mother. Anyway, Bekitzer, so the...
Hello.
So, you need a Rebbe. And even someone who's older requires a Rebbe. A Rebbe is always a good thing. The Gdolei Ador, Marabeim, the Taisus writes in Baba Kama, you probably came across that Taisus. Mer Rabbah, Kimer Shemaim, is Hashem al Kerachatira. The Rabbah Sabne Chacham refers to Gdolei Ador. So they are Marabeim. Hagoyin Amashafain Zatzal. Hagoyin Amayashiv Zatzal. Hagoyin Moran, Sara Teira. Hagoyin Amchaim Kenevsky, Shashem Yarech Yomov. Admeya Veshman Mshona. Unbelievable. You have such Gdolei Yisrael that are of such a nature and of such a. And they're all, their sole concern is for Klal Yisrael and for the good of Klal Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael should continue to grow and continue to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. So all of you are outstanding B'nai Torah. Your potential is limitless, infinite, literally. Eil Dvarim She'en Lem Shir. There's no limitation on where you can go and how you can go. And over the years, I'm in the world of Chinuch about 46 years of my life, and Baruch Hashem, I'm zochet to see Talmidim, usually I often see them on the chuppas. I see Talmidim who have become outstanding B'nai Torah. Some of them even really outstanding Talmidim Chachamim. Real B'nai Torah. All you can do that. Each one, Lefi Darko, Lefi Sichlo. Because at the end of the day, I can tell you from experience that I went to yeshiva with many, many Iluyim. I was surrounded by people who are Iluyim. Iluyim means geniuses. Not necessarily that these geniuses become the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. I discovered who became the great Talmidei Chachamim, the Masmidim. Those who learned Torah Basmada. The Gemara says, Nida, Harotza, Sheyachkim, Yarbi, Yeshiva. You want to become a Talmidei Chachamim? Medav Zitzin and learning. You have to sit and learn. That's what it boils down to. They say, in Yiddish expression, all the Rav Goldstein can help you with that. Dav Kvetch in the bank. You have to literally go and you have to sit and learn. It's not easy to learn Torah. It requires enormous commitment. But you yourself, I'm sure, feel probably when you are able to capture a sugya and you finally feel that I have some understanding, wow, that is the most exciting thing, according to my humble opinion, the most exciting thing on this earth. There's nothing more exciting than that. What could be more exciting than, once again, you're a gilui that the Rebbe Shem gave us to understand a piece of Torah, to feel more connected to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's really what we're here for. That's what Yom Kippur and Sukkah. So these two elements I wanted to stress. One, the element of the Torah Shebal Peh. You see the common denominator. All this because of Rabbi Goldschmidt. He's the one who spurred me on to discuss this. And the second is the element of Achdus that we see both in Yom Kippur and Sukkah. And this really, Achdus, when Klal Yisrael are Achdus, that's the greatest simcha that one could possibly have. The greatest simcha of Hashem Yisbarach is to see unity in Klal Yisrael. And each one of you are different. You're just sitting at this table looking at you. Wow. Kishem Shepartsufeim Einam Shavim. Just like your physiognomies are different. Kach Deoseim Einam Shavos. your hashkofis, your outlook on life, your entire perspective, your Weltschang, as Rasalechi would say, completely different one from the other. And that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And yet we all come together, all the four minim, and we're able to somehow, through this unbelievable achdus, create this incredible simcha. And this simcha comes after Yom Kippur, with tshuva that a person that does, and you feel closer to Hashem Yisbarach, and now it's a new year, and new Kabbalahs, and the opportunity to go higher and higher, le'ela, le'ela, halavai, the Rebbeinu Shem, should give us the schus, number one, to become profoundly attached to Torah Shebaal Peh, do so through achdus, watch out, do so through achdus, and certainly you shouldn't get wet, do so through achdus in the yeshiva, and be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, with that koach, lech v'kol chach hazeh, v'oshat es Yisrael. We should all have a good Yom Tov, a Chag Sameach, Gemar Chesima Teva. We should all have a Moadim L'Simcha, a good Mai, Piska Tova, a good Kvittel, whatever you say, all the different, shall we say, nomenclatures that are used. Yitz Hashem, it should all be Mekuyim, Yitz Hashem, Bekara.
Amen.